Welcome to Banca IFIS conference call dedicated to the presentation of 2015 first half results. We would like to introduce Giovanni Bossi, Banca IFIS CEO, and Mara Di Giorgio, Banca IFIS Investor Relations.
Hello, good afternoon. Mara Di Giorgio speaking. I would like to leave immediately the floor to our CEO, Giovanni Bossi, for introducing and commenting on the first and main highlights of the first half results.
Good afternoon, Giovanni Bossi. Well, first half results are good, very good. Yes, we have a really material impact arising from the government bond portfolio, but even without taking into account, into consideration that effect, figures for Banca IFIS are good and perspectives are sound. One of the most relevant decision the board take this morning is about dividends. If things will continue as expected, we think that we will be in the condition to increase dividends in the area of 10%-15% in respect of 2014. This means, even with the actual market price, a yield in the area of 3%-3.5%, or near 3.5%, and this is a quite a significant aspect I want to stress. Now the floor to Mara Di Giorgio, Investor Relations, will spend some words and some slides on the businesses and core activities.
Hi. I hope that everyone has already downloaded the slides and the press release, which is available on our Banca IFIS site. I would like to start commenting on page number two, slide number two, where we highlight net profits increase, which are up by 161%, reaching the level of 131 million. I would like to point out that this result has been achieved thanks to the action taken, the opportunity presented to us during the April month. Probably most of you already knows that we rearranged part of the government bond portfolio during that month, deciding to sell part of the portfolio, rebuying on 2 years longer expiring dates, so 2020 nowadays is the maximum level and the duration, I would say, of the bond portfolio, taking a profit for 124 million euros before taxes. At the normalized level, so after taxes, the 124 corresponds almost to 80 million euros.
80.
80. All these profits are accrued to the equity, so we are not going, as you already know, even if we today are starting to speak about dividend, as in the past, we have decided not to distribute this part of the profit, and this part of profit is going to increase and to make us much more solid, so going directly to the equity, and at the same time, giving us the opportunity to look to our future, taking all the, let's say, projects and importance and increase that the market could give us. In terms of funding and loans, we will explain in the coming slides. Anyway, funding in terms of objects, we reached the target that we already set up saying that we wanted to decrease retail funding, and that is decreasing also the cost and the impact of the interest rates paid to our clients. In terms of loans, we set up the target of increasing loans in all business segments, and that was achieved again. I'm really pleased to say that in this slide, all targets set up at the beginning of the year during the, let's say, last year conference, last year and year-end conference call were achieved in the first 6 months. Going to slide number 3, net banking income. In the first 6 months, net banking income increased by 85% compared to the prior year period. And again, this number is influenced by, again, the selling and reassessment of the government bond portfolio. Or in terms of segments, I would say that let's start from DRL. So double-digit increase, we promised the market the increase in the segment. We achieved 50% increase. And that is thanks to, let's say, really all the actions taken during the previous year and the first 6 months according to the possibility to acquire new portfolios, possibility to manage better the existing portfolios, working very hard on the database, cleaning up positions and setting up, let's say, new links and information for those databases, so having them much more updated on one side and giving us the opportunity to work better on the workflow. And on the other side, giving us the possibility to introduce and to, let's say, hire with us and working with us new people. So I'm speaking about the network of agents, internal network of collection, external network of collections thanks to the recovery companies, legal firms, new legal firms working with us throughout all the domestic market, and our internal people that were reinforced mainly in the call center area. Tax receivables, again, very, very good performance, plus 72% in the segment reported. And this is due really to the income, so inflows, okay, made possible during the first 6 months that were accelerated as compared to the previous models that we were running internally. Governance and services is up to the thanks to this, let's say, opportunity that we took in the market. Please take into consideration 3 different trends in this governance service. So on one side, the opportunity that we have taken, the lower impact of the new interest margin coming from the new government bond portfolio, and the lower cost of the retail funding. Let's speak about trade receivables. Trade receivables are really, I would say, affected by 2 different trends. The first one recognized in the business that we are calling pharma business. Pharma business results and margin, net banking income, declined by almost 16% in the first 6 months. That is the result of the lower purchase commissions charged to the seller. As you may know, we have already announced that we want to be very aggressive in this segment and we want to be very present, I would say, in acquiring turnover and volumes in this particular segment of the market. We are on one side challenging ourselves in lowering as much as possible the commissions, let's say, charged. On the other, setting up challenging targets as far as volume and new clients acquired. Then, as far as the trade receivable segment with the brand Credi Impresa Futura, I would say that Credi Impresa Futura is performing, let's say, in line with expectations, increase in number of clients. You may see on the right side of the slide that the clients increased by 7%. Double-digit increase in the turnover of the brand and totally for the trade receivable sector plus 22%. And so that is continuing, let's say, to perform as expected, even if we are looking for an acceleration in the second half. Nothing more on this slide. Going to slide number 4, net result of financial operations. Here I would like, first of all, to stress the increase of over 100%, okay, of the margins, of the profit, sorry, giving you the good news that all segments reported double and three, really, at least double-digit increase. So the fall in the provisions in all segments gave us the possibility to increase trade receivable by almost 14%, DRL 41%, tax receivables 76%. It's important, it's worth to point out the cost of credit quality in trade receivable segment, which is half as compared 1 year ago. So we are speaking about 112 basis points as compared to 252 basis points previous year first 6 months results. And the improvement in the ratio of the credit risk cost is really taken, okay, is achieved, maintaining consistent and very rigorous, I would say, policies adopted by the group. That's important. One word on total provisions, which increased by, let's say, as compared to just the trade receivables, by other 4 million of impairment costs, and those are two different, let's say, areas. One is related to a participation of the company in another company in India, and another, let's say, participation in another Italian bank. Going to page 5, again, profit of the first 6 months were 131 million plus 161%. Here in this slide, the picture, the graph, is giving you the idea where of the costs and where this margin, this profit is absorbed. So by almost 17 million in provisions, as already mentioned, then we have 52 million of operating costs, three main areas here. We hired 98 people during the first 6 months, an increase in the area of 15%, almost 15%. 98 people, which are really fragmented throughout all the business segments. Then higher volumes managed in the DRL affects also the costs, because you may know that we are including the collection debt, the collection recovery cost, and the information costs in this area of operating costs. And then we have also consulting fees, which rose during the first 6 months, trying to re-engineer and to add and to follow the new projects that the company and the bank is focused on. Cost income ratio normalized, so normalized means taken out from the margin, the extra margin coming from the operation of the reassessment of the bond, government bond, is at the level of 36.8% as compared to 32.6% the previous year. If we take the consolidated number as it is, we reach the level of 19.6% as compared again to 32.6%. Tax rate is almost at the same level of the previous year, at the 33.3%. Going to the balance sheet, let's see the asset structure. As loans increased by 12% totally in the core activities. Looking at the different segments, we reach plus 6.6% at the level of the trade receivable segment. DRL, after the acquisition of the already announced portfolios, reached the level of 220 million euros. Please have in mind that we acquired at the nominal value almost 2 billion of asset portfolios DRL. 114 million euro is the loans under the tax receivable for business and 200 in the governance and services. We have all the government bond portfolio included in the available for sale category. Okay, so it's 3.8 billion and the remaining part are peanuts. Going to slide number 7, very pleased to give you, let's say, the overview on the deteriorated assets where in, it is worth to see and to mention and to analyze. So it means in the trade receivable segment. Repeating that loans to customers increased by 6.6%, it's worth to mention that all categories, so NPL and unlikely to pay, decreased in absolute amount, and past due exposure grew, but only for one significant position that is that has to deal with the normal factoring business processes and was restated, let's say, was again in the normalized, let's say, category at the beginning of July. Okay, so we are speaking about a significant amount that at the end of June was included in past due exposure, but the beginning, the just a few days after, was a normalized position. That has to deal with the factoring business. NPL coverage ratio, 87%. At the end of June as compared to 86% at the end of December, and again we were able to give an improvement in the NPL on trade receivable ratio, reaching the level of 1.2% at the end of the year, as you may remember, it was 1.3. So I would say that we are probably at the level, at the minimum level of the Italian banking system. Balance sheet again, page number 8, so slide number 8 here, just for pointing out that the retail funding decreased according to our strategy of decreasing cost and affecting less the P&L. Rendimax and Contomax were at the level of 2.9 billion, okay? It's the first time that the liquidity, retail liquidity, 2.9, is a little bit less than core activities. Okay, so probably the level of Rendimax and Contomax in terms of absolute amount, so retail funding, now is where we want to be. Okay, looking forward, probably some actions could be taken, okay, just to try to maintain, I would say, the brand recognition and awareness on the market, having already, I would say, a balanced interest rate space according to the time deposits and the competitors. So now it's probably time to maintain, at least to maintain, that level of absolute amount. Wholesale funding, well, as you may know, that due from banks and the repos are changing, I would say, amounts according to the wholesale trends and costs. So for this time, we increased the repos wholesale funding as compared to decrease of the due from banks, nothing more. Page 9, the breakdown of the debt securities portfolio at the end of June. Again, here it's important to point out that in the second quarter expired something like 1.1 billion euro of securities. Now we have still 873 million euros of debt securities that will expire by year end. Then we will have almost the same amount expiring in 2016, and then up to 18 we will stay at the same level. We have almost 800 million euros expiring between 19 and 2020. Duration up to now in the range of 20 months. Now, as far as equity, here important to say that these equity changes take into consideration on one side the profit, on the other the dividend distributed, and it's worth to point out that total own fund capital ratio is over 16%. So from 14%, which was considered already strong, now we are at the level of 16%. Fabio, we open the floor to the Q&A section now.
Thank you, Mr. Bossi and Ms. Di Giorgio. We would like now to open the Q&A session. To register for your question, please star one followed by one. Sorry, press star followed by one. To cancel your reservation, dial star followed by two. First question comes from Miss Irene Rossetto of Intermonte. Miss Rossetto, please.
Good afternoon. I have a few questions, if I may. First of all, what the 2 million of other operating expenses refer to? Then, on the ARL division, are you planning new acquisition of NPL's portfolio? And could you give a target for new acquisition in 2015? Could you also elaborate a little bit more on the secondary market operation you mentioned in the press release? And in terms of profitability, should we consider the second quarter level of profitability as a recurrent or as a one-off? Then on the factoring, do you see any pressure on margins for the private sector area? And how does the average yield compare to the public sector area? On funding, at what level do you expect the retail cost of funding to be at the end of the year? And then you gave a very positive guidance on 2015 dividend. Should we expect year-on-year growth at the same level for 2015 and 2017 as well? And finally, given your strong capital position, do you see some space for external growth strategies?
Irene, thank you for your
list of questions.
Allow me to start from the bottom. External growth. Well, it goes without saying that 16% of the total own fund capital ratio, let's say the old solvency ratio, every dream is available, or more or less quite every dream. The point is that in our view, on the market, we think that there are really few good opportunities, and in particular, we see a market where when we move, things immediately becomes every object becomes really unrealistic in terms of acquisition. So, if we maintain the eyes open, but at the same time, and we have many files on the table. But if you ask me, do you think if we will buy something in the near or medium term future? My answer is probably no. Because the opportunity, because we are focused on opportunities, and we prefer not to bring in the complexity that any acquisition, it is impossible to avoid, bring into our body if we perform it. So probably no, as regards external growth, we are concentrated in internal growth, and we have space, ideas, business models to perform it in a quite satisfactory manner. As regards dividends, well, we just decided the guidance for the 2015. asking the guidance for 2016 and 17 is, let's say, I could say, slightly early for the moment. I could say, in any case, that the, but this is nothing more than an opinion, that the Banca IFIS, as well known, is a bank that prefers to issue dividends accordingly with the capacity to generate core net profit. So the higher the core net profit, probably the higher the dividends. This is not a commitment. The board decided nothing about this. The board said nothing about this. But if we have to watch at the history, probably the higher the core profit, the higher the dividends for the future. Cost of funding. Here we have two different world. The wholesale funding is in the area of is below zero. We are paying something in this period, these weeks, we are paying something in the area of minus 15 basis points below zero in these weeks. The explanation is quite easy. The other banks with an excess of liquidity prefer to lend us the money to us instead of granting of leaving the deposit at the ECB at minus 20 bps. But this is not an issue. The most important issue is the retail funding cost. And as regards the retail funding cost, what we can say is that we probably reached during these weeks the minimum level in the area of 1.25. This is an average that that consider both the medium term constraint, that is the time deposit, let's say the longest for us is two years so far, and the shortest part, that is on call. We think that this is a level that is appropriate. It is difficult to me to say that in the future this figure will decrease further. If we push the level of interest rates far lower than now, well, the reaction of the customers probably will be a sort of disaffection, and probably the stickiness of the deposits that we are in the condition to see so far probably will be affected by the further reduction in the cost of funding, let's say interest rates for the clients. For your evaluation, consider in any moment that you have to add the 20 basis points as a stamp duty to the cost of funding, because we pay 1.25 now, but plus 20 basis points of stamp duty. Going up on your question, pressure on the margins in the loans activity to SMEs, the factoring activity. I have to say that in the medium to high-end level of tickets, the pressure is in place, not only for us, but for all the market. But this is an effect arising from the policy of the monetary authorities that are willing to increase the level of liquidity banks transfer to the real economy. And the effect is in place for the big to medium tickets. Things are quite different for small and micro tickets. For as regards small and micro tickets, the pressure is less strong. I could say that probably is not present at all in most part of our presence. Well, to be honest, we are not only present in the micro and the small tickets market, but also in some situation in some bigger ticket, bigger operation, bigger market, and in this market we feel pressure. This is a good reason why we think for the future that we will concentrate further on the small and micro tickets. And one, this is a strategy that we implemented because we are waiting for this pressure on the medium level ticket. And so we increased, and we are still increasing our capacity to speak with the small and micro companies. The most important action we put in place in the last quarters, and we put in place for the rest of the year, is to increase the sales force that we have in place in the market. So pressure, yes, is present in the medium to large tickets. The lower the creditworthiness of the clients, the lower the pressure on margins. Going up, this is something...
The NPL, if we are buying and we are on...
Is the second Q level of profitability is current or not, if I understand correctly?
And if we are going to buy, if we have set up a target in the NPL acquisition?
Well, starting from the NPL, so NPLs, this is a very peculiar moment in the NPL market. As you know, we bought a big portfolio in the last weeks, and we are still committed in going on in another acquisition. The first target we fixed 2 years ago, if somebody has in evidence what I said 2 years ago, is to reach 1 million of position and 8 billion. 1 million position means 1 million of files and 8 billion of face value as regards the book. You know, so far we are slightly higher than 900,000 files today, and slightly higher than 7 billion, in the area of 7 billion of face value. So the first target for 2015 could be to reach 8 billion and 1 million of files. We will do our best to beat even this quite optimistic target.
Can we add that the market is quite sparkling at the moment? There is either on the origination side and on the secondary market quite, let's say, a number of transactions which could happen in the coming weeks and months?
And for this reason, we are actively working not only on the primary market but also on the secondary market. It is impossible to disclose what we are doing so far. Please consider that we are working on the secondary market
as well.
You ask us if the second Q level of and profitability, I guess, for the NPL is recurrent. I think that it is recurrent, and I wait for a further growth in the NPL net banking income, if this was the question. And the first question is 2 million, 2 million.
Irene, are you speaking about the 2 million of impairment that I said at the beginning?
No, I'm speaking about other expenses. Line other, 200.
Other expenses, there is a plus 1.6.
No, I see minus 2.141.
Riga, the line 220,
yes.
Riga 220 è quella che dice?
Sì, sì,
sono proventi.
These are incomes. These are expenses that we incur in, and we ask to counterparties to give us back.
Okay. And are they a one-off or are?
No, quite not.
But it's also the previous year.
You see, that is quite current. Is in particular legal. The most part is legal expenses.
Positive
legal expenses that you find both on the expenses and on the other profit, other income.
Okay, and as a follow-up on the DRL division, you mentioned the secondary market in your press release as a future strategy. If you could elaborate a little bit more, or is it still too early?
Yes, the secondary market the point is that the secondary market is active. Well, I'd prefer not to elaborate more than this because of business and competition reason, Mr. Rossetto. Okay. But the point is that the increase in the prices in the last 24 months, this has been gradually but very strong, allows to primary market acquirer to sell portfolios, trade both with a certain price, with even with a good profitability, even if they don't close the activity. The collection activity. So it is a good moment for this kind of activity. At the same time, but again I can't disclose. We in 2014 we open from our side both the secondary market for the acquisition and the secondary market for the sale. Well, both markets are active. This is not so difficult to understand. If you go in a more advanced market, as let's say the U.S. market, you find that all this stuff, all the DRL portfolios, are bought and sold many times during the life, with a secondary, even a third level market. So nothing news.
New?
It is new. It's new for Italy,
yeah.
Not for this market in other advanced markets.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
No questions at the moment. I would like to remind you that if you want to register for your question, you can press star followed by one.
Do we have questions, Fabio?
Yes. We have one more question from Simonetta Chirotti of Mediobanca. Ms. Chirotti, please.
Yes, good afternoon from my side as well. A more general question on the market of NPLs. Could you give us a comment on the recent measures taken by the government in terms of foreclosure procedure and in general debt recovery procedure? So if you see them as a game changer in the sector. Thank you.
Thank you for your question. Well, there are two areas of new rules from the governmental side. One is, if I can, one is in the area of tax, and one is in the area of legal processes. Starting from the first, the possibility for banks to deduct the loss on the provisions, let's say, loss of provisions on loans directly in 1 year instead of 8 as before, or instead of 15 as 3-4 years ago, I think is the fact that we could deduct immediately in 1 year the cost of provision is something, in my opinion, absolutely obvious. Provisions, together with interest rate, the cost of interest, are the two provisions and cost of interest are the two costs, the two direct costs that our activity carry every day. So I cannot understand why a direct cost of the activity should not be deductible immediately. This has been in the past a distortion that eventually, with a good decision from the government side, is cancelled. But at the same time, I cannot say that this will improve in an extraordinary way the level of transaction in the NPL, or will be a game changer, as you told you before, for the market. This is a measure that I consider correct, but what do you think can change for a bank in doing more or less provision if the provision is deductible in 1 year instead of 8, considering that the cost of funding is in the area of 0? So it's correct, but it's not a game changer. What could be a game changer is the aspect of the process of legal process. Well, this is quite relevant, but again, it is a necessity to have new processes in place. Italy is one of the worst country where to start a litigation with another counterparty. There are many jokes on this around Europe. And this is not good for the credibility of the investments we need to have in our country. So it is absolutely important to have more a legal process that is stronger and quicker, faster than now. This could be a game changer. Because in buying portfolios of non-performing or single ticket even of non-performing loans, an investor is willing to know in how many years he can transform the loans into cash. And if the law help us in transforming the 7.5 year, that if I remember correctly is the figure for a bankruptcy to be completed in Italy so far, into a process of 4 or 5 years. Well, this transform immediately in less provisions or higher transfer price for the NPL. So this is crucial. In my opinion, this is crucial, but at the same time we need courts to work properly and to respect properly all the rules that the government will put in place. This is not so automatically easy.
Thank you. And as a follow-up question, if I may, also the possibility of having a bad bank in Italy has been discussed in the last weeks. We have to see how, but it is something that is often on the press and also in the discussion of the members of the government. Do you think that this would have an impact on the sector and would decrease the the possible growth the possibility of growing in the sector for a bank like yours? Thank you.
Well, please consider that in the market in which we are present, non-performing loans is a very huge market. We are involved in a part of this market that is the consumer unsecured, where bad banks, where even provisions are not so the impact of this are not so material. I don't think that the bad bank, if any, will have any impact on our activity. Furthermore, consider that as far as I know, the first evidence are saying us that if any bad bank will arise, will be only for real estate and corporate, so big tickets loans, and not for very small tickets. So I think we will not be will be impacted in any way from the bad bank. More, if you want another comment, I think that moments for bad banks in Europe have gone many years ago. Today it is difficult to understand how you can go around the state-wide barrier without a strong litigation with the European Union Commission. So it is possible to do something. I know that Bank of Italy and the government are trying to do something. The point is that if in every moment you have to pay attention to the state-wide barrier, well, the space for any move is quite small. In any case, the fact that there is a big difference between offer and demand could be this fact is relevant and could be reduced from some help arising from the government in the direction of let the market move better than now. But anyway, for us, no impact for any kind of bad bank. Neither positive nor negative.
Thank you. Very clear.
Fabio, do we have questions?
No questions.
Okay, so thank you very much indeed to everyone for the interest in our bank. I would like just to remind you that the conference call is on demand just a few minutes after the closing of this live conference. Thank you very much again to everyone. Bye.
Bye to everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is over. Thank you for calling.